ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. It is written, Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming unto him, saith unto Philip, Whence should we buy bread that these may eat? It is written, Philip answered him, 200 shilling worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. It is written, One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? It is written, Jesus said, Make the people sit down.
For God is just a prayer away.
Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, likewise also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost. So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves which remained over unto them that had eaten. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Upon the sacred page, I see thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me, thy holy word the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, the feeding of the 5,000. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was a very unusual miracle for several reasons. For one thing, more people saw it than any other miracle the Lord ever worked. At least 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Then also, it is unusual because it is the only miracle aside from the resurrection of Jesus that is recorded by all 4 of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It seems the Holy Spirit has something important he wants to emphasize to us in this miracle. Jesus had gone across the Sea of Galilee into a mountain and sat with his disciples. A great multitude had followed him because they beheld the signs he did on them that were sick. Jesus lifted up his eyes and beheld the large crowd. Mark says, Jesus looked upon them with compassion, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach many things. If he taught them many things, we wonder, what did he teach them? Mark does not say, but Luke fills in the rest. Luke says he spake unto them many things about the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it would be hard to find any subject where Jesus had more to say about than the kingdom of God. Many times we read where Jesus said, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Thou art not far from the kingdom. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If Jesus had so much to say about the kingdom of heaven, should we not also spend much time teaching the things concerning the kingdom? Should we not spend much time telling how to be members of the kingdom, telling the work of the kingdom? Tell them about the officers of the kingdom, the elders and the deacons. Tell them about faithfulness to the ordinances of the kingdom. He taught them many things about the kingdom of heaven. And it must have been a long message, because it lasted until evening was come. And no one complained, even though they were hungry. Many churches today have put God on the clock. I have asked several preachers how long I had to speak, and they say, we are on a tight schedule. 20 minutes is enough. It seems the important thing is to get out of this place on time. Surely there must be some extra significance to this miracle, since the Holy Spirit saw fit to list it 4 times. So here is a partial list of some of the reasons why this miracle was so important. For one thing, toward the end of the day, the apostles advised the Lord to get rid of this crowd, send them away, that they may go and buy themselves food. They're hungry, Lord. But this is no concern of ours. That's the way many churches handle the situation today. People are hungry for the bread of life all over the world. But this is no concern of ours. The vision of the average church has been narrowed down to the confines of the church lot. If we can take in enough money to pay the bills, that's all we need. Let us ignore the problem of preaching the gospel to every creature. A world without Christ is really no concern of ours. Send them away. Secondly, notice that the Lord said, give ye them to eat. They have no need to go away. This was apparently an impossible task. How could they do it with nothing? Was the Lord joking? He was not mocking them for their inability. He knew they could do it with the power that he would supply. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Great Commission seems impossible. How can we as a church carry the gospel to the entire world, to every creature? Well, almost any 11 of us in any congregation has more money in our pockets at that moment than the 11 had with them when they stood on the Mount of Olives and Jesus issued those waters of world conquest. And they never asked him, where's the money coming from? For they knew if he could raise the dead, raising the money was a minor problem. We don't need to look beyond the local congregation for the answer to the conversion of the world to Jesus. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. When Jesus said that, he was talking to you personally. You go and preach the word to every creature. You give them to eat. Then consider Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He reported, there is a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, bring them to me. Andrew is mentioned as doing something three times in the New Testament. And every time, he is doing the same thing. John and Andrew were the first of the future apostles to meet the Lord in the first chapter of John. As soon as Andrew met Jesus, he went and told his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah," and brought Peter to Jesus. In John 12, some Greeks came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip was not sure the Lord would want to talk to those Gentiles and told Andrew. Both Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. Andrew brought his brother Peter to the Lord. Then he brought the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord. Then he brought the delegation of Greeks to the Lord. Andrew may have preached many sermons and done many things, but the thing that stands out in his life is his talent for leading people personally into the presence of the Lord where they can hear him and see him. There are many of us today who are not able to teach or preach or sing or organize, but many of us can lead others into the presence of the Lord Jesus, even as Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now look again. When Andrew said there are 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus said, "Bring them hither to me." It might not be much, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but when that little bit we have is surrendered to the Lord, he can work a miracle with it. When David faced Goliath, if he had been like us, he would have said, "Well, Lord, I'll go out and fight Goliath, but if I only had a sawed-off shotgun, or maybe a bomb of some kind." David did not have a sawed-off shotgun. All he had was a sling. And the Lord said, "Well, I think I can work with that." The definition of a modern-day miracle in 4 words is man's best, God blessed. Bring Jesus what little you have, and God will say, "I think I can work with that. Bring it to me." Now, let us look at all 4 writers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as they tell us that Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks, and it is said 4 times. 4 times the Lord gave thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, do you give thanks today according to the example set by Jesus? I read one time somewhere a long time ago where a man had a dream. He dreamed he entered a humongous dining room. A table was set for 1,460 settings. The table was covered with all kinds of food, roast of all kinds, gravy, fresh fish, oysters, clams, lobsters, porterhouse steak, fast food, hamburgers, French fries. There were all kinds of cakes and pies, various barbecued meats, baked potatoes, potato salad topped off with ice cream, many other goodies, too numerous to mention. The man in his dream could not wait to sit down to gobble it up. What a spread! But he was told, "Wait for a special announcement that is to be made." The announcement was, these 1,460 settings represent 365 breakfasts you ate last year, 365 dinners you ate last year, 365 suppers you ate last year, 365 snacks you ate before bedtime or between meals. You ate all that stuff last year like a hog and never thanked God one time. Remember again it says the Lord gave thanks, and it says he gave thanks 4 times. Now let us look at the menu that was served that day. they were told to sit down in companies of hundreds and fifties. The apostles were the waiters, and they gave everyone present the special of the day: fish and a small loaf of barley bread. There is no hint that anyone called out to any of the apostles as they served and said, "Brother Philip, when you come back to Section D, bring me a little tartar sauce. This fish is rather dry." Did someone call out, "Oh, Brother Andrew, we need a little hot coffee here in Section A"? How about someone saying, "Hey, Brother Peter, is the Lord serving dessert today? If he is, I'll take a double order of strawberry pie. I like a little whipped cream on mine." Nothing like this was said. When Jesus fed this crowd, he used the same old staple diet they had been eating every day: fish and bread. That was it. Sometimes today, we like to have things fancy, and that's our culture. We have to have cushions on our seats, air conditioning, fancy buildings. The 5,000 that day were told to sit on the grass. We like a little coffee and donuts, a dancing praise team, and special entertainment. Now, all of this may be helpful, but if the world is ever won to Christ, it will have to be because of the same old staple diet of the Word of God, replete with large servings of repentance in this permissive, do-as-you-please world. All of the hoopla we will have little comfort when they come to burn the church house down. Next, we notice something about the method of Jesus in feeding. Please note the Lord did not pile up the broken pieces of fish and bread till he had enough to feed the whole crowd. He fed the crowd as he broke the loaves and the fishes. This would have been a problem to many modern-day assemblies, making them a little nervous. As he fed the first few, the rest could see he was working with a small amount, just 5 small rolls and 2 fish, and would have figured out, "He will run out before long and we won't get any. We better get out of here and head for the nearest restaurant." It would have taken great faith for us to hang around long enough for the Lord to demonstrate he really did have the resources to feed all of them and have some left over. As the prodigal son said in the Father's house, "There is bread enough and to spare." The attitude of many of us today was something like that. Something needs to be done to get all the money saved up first. Then do it. Don't do anything until you can afford it. It's all right to buy a car or a house when you don't have the money. But we must be cautious in something for the Lord. That was what we were told to do when we started this radio program many years ago. "You don't have any money. It costs too much. No one ever heard of you. Get the money first. Save it up till you can afford it." If we had done that, it would never have happened. If a congregation needs more space for classrooms to teach Bible school lessons or whatever, and they wait until they can afford it, it will never happen. Remember, the Lord always has bread enough and to spare. Next, that statement is needed when it says they were all filled. That statement needs a closer look. The next day in John 6, many of these same people came looking for Jesus, and he reminded them that they had sought him because they ate the loaves and were filled. He told them to work not for the food that perishes, but for the food which abides unto eternal life. When they asked for some of that bread, Jesus told them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The human race can thirst for many things, but the only thing that completely satisfies is the bread of life, and that bread is Jesus. Only in him can it be said, they were all completely filled. There is a statement in Revelation 7 that speaks of the eternal fulfillment of that statement when Jesus is told, and we are told, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Notice now the comparison in the broken bread and the broken body of the Lord. Jesus blessed and brake and fed the multitude. This reminds us of the Lord's Supper, when Jesus also blessed and brake and gave to the disciples. At the feeding of the 5,000, he spoke of gathering up broken pieces. The multitude was fed with broken pieces. At the Lord's Supper, the disciples were fed with the broken body of Jesus. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. We remember also the soldiers at the cross were sent to break the legs and pierce his side with a spear instead. All the power of the Roman Empire could not force that disciplined soldier to obey the order to break their legs, because the prophecy stated, a bone of him shall not be broken. And Jesus said in John 10, the scripture cannot be broken. His legs could not be broken because the scripture cannot be broken. But his body was broken for the same reason. The scripture cannot be broken. That verse applies to every verse of the Word of God, including the plan of salvation. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Repent ye and be baptized, Peter said, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And remember, that's the Word of God, and the Word of God cannot be broken. Now in conclusion, when the multitude saw the sign that he did, there was a groundswell. At first a murmuring, then it grew louder and louder. Jesus for King! Jesus for King! Jesus for King! So he sent the apostles to the boat while he sent the multitudes away. And then he went up into the mountain alone to pray. The disciples got in the boat and sailed across the sea. And that night there was a great storm. Jesus saw them toiling at the rowing and came down from the mountain. And to escape the crowd, he walked across the sea and rescued the disciples in the boat. Jesus sees us today as we toil at the rowing in the old ship of Zion, and will come to us someday, not on the water, but in the air. And we will assemble, not on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, but on the shore of that sea which is like unto glass mingled like as a fire. Not with a crowd of 5,000, but with a crowd no man could number of every tribe and tongue and nation. We will feast, not on the bread and fishes, but at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And then in a voice like the voice of a great multitude, like a voice of many waters, and like the sound of mighty thunders, our acclamation of voices harmonized with the singing of the angels will resound throughout the universe. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.